Blog Talk Radio.
Always look up, never give up, and you will reach your goals. You're important, you're more than enough. And here she is, your host for Rolling with the Diva, Sabrina Williams. Thank you.
Hello, how are you guys today? It's Sabrina, the lovely diva, who's excited that everybody listens to my show. Today we're going to talk about, meditation, your heart, and less stress. Did you guys know that stress can actually impact the way that your heart is, reacts and causes your blood pressure to rise? And today we're going to talk about how to defeat that. We're going to play a song, and then we're going to come back to Rolling with a Diva. Here we go.
Sheets of rain falling down, people moving all around. Some never think how great you are, some never feel with a clean heart. With all that you do and all that you've done, the fact that you gave your only son, you think they'd all cry glory, hallowed be thy name, most excellent, most God. And the moon sing Gloria, you're so excellent. Oh, in a day gone tomorrow, days of joy and days of sorrow. Some even ask what life's about, some live and don't see you're the way out. Is it only look and see your glory in the great heavenly? They'd have to cry out, glory, hallowed be thy name, most excellent God. Yes, you're glorious. The mountains clap and the hills sing, Gloria, you're so excellent. Oh, you are, no one's holy like you are. You are, yes, there's none beside you. You are, and there's no rock like you, Lord. No rock like you, Lord. You are. I find no fault in you. You're my glorious God. You are. Yes, you're glorious. In your greatness and your power, in your majesty and your victory. Is he to you? He is the main, and so much more. Oh, we worship him in the beauty of his holiness. Go on and worship him, worship him, worship the Lord. Is there anybody here? Anybody loving like I do? Then say you. Gloria.
All right, we're back. So I'm going to read you guys something that I wrote in regards to what we're going to talk about today. Life is full of challenges. We put pressure on ourselves for perfection. Stress is real, yet stress is not to be feared, but embraced. When I first started NCEP, Nevada Community Enrichment Program, I was very stressed, but as the weeks went on, we were told how to rethink, retool, and relook at stress. Today, we start with the impact stress can have on you, how to control, and listen. And we're going to listen to a video by Kelly McGonnell and some other authors. These are on YouTube, and the videos you're going to hear are not mine. They will be identified by the person, so please always give acknowledgement to where you got the videos. But we want to talk first. Let's just talk about meditation and why it's important. The American Heart Association advocates a regular meditation practice to help lower stress and your risk of cardiovascular disease. You notice as you sit quietly that your body calms and your heart rate lowers. A lower heart rate is usually an indication of more relaxed state of being. But there's also, if you don't take care of your heart, and then you may be at a higher risk for having a heart attack, a stroke, or other body problems. These are not definite, but these are things that you should really understand. And so let's just talk about meditation before we talk about embracing stress. Meditation should be used for any area of your life where you seem overwhelmed or where you need to have your body at a relaxed state. Meditation techniques are increasingly popular practice that may be useful in preventing or reducing elevated blood pressures. Transcendental meditation and mindful-based stress reductions may produce clinical significant reduction in systolic and diastolic pressures. One is an upper blood pressure and one is a lower. You guys can look up that information on American Heart webpage. So how do you do a heart meditation? First, you follow these simple steps. You begin by sitting in a comfortable position, closing your eyes. You could do this on your sofa if you're at work. You could just take a few minutes, close your eyes, and just sit there. You could be in your car. For just this moment, let go of your thoughts and the outside world. Let your mind go to a place that's safe for you, calm for you, and you love a lot. Focus your attention on your spiritual heart center in the middle of your chest and be aware of your heart as a space. Focus on your breathing and focus on trying to be in rhythm with your heartbeat. When you do this, you need to just continue to breathe in and out. And we talked about that, breathing through your nose and out your mouth. There are websites that talk about yoga, Pilates, and different forms of mindful meditation. But meditation doesn't always mean moving your body. It could just be in a state of prayer. I truly believe that if you know God or you have a higher power, that you're able to calm yourself through prayer, through music, or through journaling. You are an important person. You're more than enough. And I just want to remind you of that. So today, what is stress? Can it be stressful? Yeah, stress is anything that impacts you where you, your muscles are tight, your back is tight, so on down the road. We all have our indicators for stress. But how do we take care? How do we learn to embrace stress? Because stress can be a very helpful component to us. Well, we're going to listen to Kelly McGonnell in How to Make Stress Your Friend. Okay, that's one thing we're gonna go on with this, and then we're gonna listen to some other people, such as Tony Robbins, and then I'll identify the other ones. Take for what information you want. I will play little parts of their videos, and then you guys can go to them. Okay, here's Kelly McGonnell.
I've been working with Olympic athletes, movie stars, royalty, people at the very top of their game, rock stars.
And this was on a TED channel.
I have a confession to make. But first, I want you to make a little confession to me. you. Just raise your hand. If you've experienced relatively little stress, anyone? Mm-hmm. How about a moderate amount of stress? Who's experienced a lot of stress? Yeah, me too. But that is not my confession. My confession is this. I am a health psychologist, and my mission is to help people be happier and healthier. But I fear that something I've been teaching for the last 10 years is doing more harm than good, and it has to do with stress. For years, I've been telling people stress makes you sick. It increases the risk of everything from the common cold to cardiovascular disease. Basically, I've turned stress into the enemy. But I've changed my mind about stress, and today, I want to change yours. Let me start with the study that made me rethink my whole approach to stress. This study tracked 30,000 adults in the United States for 8 years, and they started by asking people how much
stress. She's actually about to show videos on the heart and stress, so when she asks certain questions to the audience, they'll raise their hand, and but she'll be pointing to a video. So, but again, you can find this on the YouTube channel, and it is Miss. It is by, hold on a second, because, you know, ads pop up when you're trying to do things. It is How to Make Stress Your Friend by Kelly McGonnell. And that's Kelly is just spelled Kelly with a K, M-C, capital G-O-N-I-G-A-L. This is part of the TED Talks. This is not my video. This is hers. And I just want to make sure we all understand it. We're back to listening to Kelly.
Stress you experienced in the last year. I also asked, do you believe that stress is harmful for your health? And then they used public death records to find out who died. Okay, some bad news first. People who experienced a lot of stress in the previous year had a 43% increased risk of dying. But that was only true for the people who also believed that stress is harmful for your health. People who experienced a lot of stress but did not view stress as harmful were no more likely to die. In fact, they had the lowest risk of dying of anyone in the study, including people who had relatively little stress. Now, the researchers estimated that over the 8 years they were tracking deaths, 182,000 Americans died prematurely, not from stress, but from the belief that stress is bad for you. That is over 20,000 deaths a year. Now, if that estimate is correct, that would make believing stress is bad for you the 15th largest cause of death in the United States last year, killing more people than skin cancer, HIV, AIDS, and homicide. You can see why this study freaked me out. Here I've been spending so much energy telling people stress is bad for your health. So this study got me wondering, can changing how you think about stress make you healthier? And here the science says yes. When you change your mind about stress, you can change your body's response to stress. Now, to explain how this works, I want you all to pretend that you are participants in a study designed to stress you out. It's called the social stress test. You come into the laboratory and you're told you have to give a 5-minute impromptu speech on your personal weaknesses to a panel of expert evaluators sitting right in front of you. And to make sure you feel the pressure, there are bright lights and a camera in your face, kind of like this. And the evaluators have been trained to give you discouraging nonverbal feedback, like this. Now that you're sufficiently demoralized, time for part two, a math test. And unbeknownst to you, the experimenter has been trained to harass you during it. Now, we're going to all do this together. It's going to be fun for me. Okay. I want you all to count backwards from 996 in increments of 7. You're going to do this out loud as fast as you can, starting with 996. Go.
go faster. Faster, please. You're going too slow. Stop, 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 stop. That guy made a mistake. We're going to have to start all over again. You're not very good at this, are you? Okay, so you get the idea. Now, if you were actually in this study, you'd probably be a little stressed out. Your heart might be pounding. You might be breathing faster, maybe breaking out into a sweat. And normally, we interpret these physical changes as anxiety or signs that we aren't coping very well with the pressure.
So I'm going to stop it right there. We'll continue a second. But let's talk about that. You know, when she talks about heart beating, think about the situation where your boss calls you into office and say, can you be in my office at 3 o'clock? I need to talk to you. Now, you could have done nothing wrong, but automatically your heart, well, I know when that happened to me, my heart has tightens up, my back tightens up, and I'm going back to thinking, what have I done wrong? What could I have done? Who did I offend? What did I do my job yesterday? What did I forget? Did I write the right notes? Did I log them in the computer on time? And because I used to be a case manager for Department of Family Services, Child Protective Services. And then one day, as I went into my boss's office one day, and I was just shaking and I was nervous, and she asked me, what's going on? I said, well, I'm in trouble. She goes, why do you always assume you're in trouble? And at that point, I was like, yes, I do. So I had to slowly retrain myself so I don't get myself stressed out. I had to learn how to not go to the negative, but go to the positive. If my boss said, hey, I need you in the office, we need to talk to you, or I need to talk to you, or we're having a meeting, I didn't put it back on, oh, I've done something wrong, to go into negative energy or beat myself down. I went, you know what, I've done my job, I'm a good employee. If it's something I've done, I'm going to go ahead and accept it and move on. And sometimes you know why your boss is calling you into the office, or you know why your mom and dad is sitting you down at the kitchen table, or why your spouse is upset with you. Sometimes we know those things. We just don't want to address them. But if we can address those things head on and accept them, it can make our life better. Before we go back to finish up with Kelly and her TED Talk, that's on YouTube, I'd like to read you guys a verse, because I really do rely on the Bible, and I like this verse, and this is Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be anxious, I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. All right, we're going to play a song, and we'll be right back.
Sheets of rain falling down, people moving all around. Some never think how great you are. Some never feel with a clean heart. With all that you do and all that you've done, the fact that you gave your only son, you think they'd all cry, glory, hallowed be thy name, most excellent, most God. Stars in the moon sing, Gloria, you're so excellent. Oh, in a day gone tomorrow, days of joy and days of sorrow. Some even ask what life's about. Some live and don't see you're the way out. Is it only look and see your glory in the great heavenly? They'd have to cry out, glory, hallowed be thy name, most excellent God. Yes, you're glorious. The mountains clap and the hills sing, Gloria, you're so excellent. Oh, you are no rock like you, Lord. No rock like you, Lord. You are
glorious.
I find no fault in you. You're my glorious God. You are
glorious.
Yes, you're glorious. In your greatness and your power, in your majesty and your victory. Somebody say, is he? Is it a you? He is the main. And so much more. Oh, we worship him in the beauty of his holiness. Go on and worship him, worship him, worship the Lord. Is there anybody here? Anybody love him like I do? Then say, you are, you're glorious.
Into your brain. And participants who learned to view the stress response as helpful for their performance, well, they were less stressed out, less anxious, more confident. But the most fascinating finding to me was how their physical stress response changed. Now, in a typical stress response, your heart rate goes up and your blood vessels constrict like this. And this is one of the reasons that chronic stress is sometimes associated with cardiovascular disease. It's not really healthy to be in this state all the time. But in the study, when participants viewed their stress response as helpful, their blood vessels stayed relaxed like this. Their heart was still pounding, but this is a much healthier cardiovascular profile. It actually looks a lot like what happens in moments of joy and courage. Over a lifetime of stressful experiences, this one biological change could be the difference between a stress-induced heart attack at age 50 and living well into your 90s. And this is really what the new science of stress reveals, that how you think about stress matters. So my goal as a health psychologist has changed. I no longer want to get rid of your stress. I want to make you better at stress. And we just did a little intervention. If you raised your hand and said you'd had a lot of stress in the last year, we could have saved your life. Because hopefully the next time your heart is pounding from stress, you're going to remember this talk and you're going to sing to yourself, this is my body helping me rise to this challenge. And when you view stress in that way, your body believes you and your stress response becomes healthier. Now, I said I have over a decade of demonizing stress to redeem myself from. So we are going to do one more intervention. I want to tell you about one of the most underappreciated aspects of the stress response. And the idea is this: stress makes you social. To understand the side of stress, we need to talk about a hormone, oxytocin. And I know oxytocin has already gotten as much hype as a hormone can get. It even has its own cute nickname, the cuddle hormone, because it's released when you hug someone. But this is a very small part of what oxytocin is involved in. Oxytocin is a neurohormone. It fine-tunes your brain's social instincts. It primes you to do things that strengthen close relationships. Oxytocin makes you crave physical contact with your friends and family. It enhances your empathy. It even makes you more willing to help and support the people you care about. Some people have even suggested we should snort oxytocin to become more compassionate and caring. But here's what most people don't understand about oxytocin. It's a stress hormone. Your pituitary gland pumps this stuff out as part of the stress response. It's as much a part of your stress response as the adrenaline that makes your heart pound. And when oxytocin is released in the stress response, it is motivating you to seek support. Your biological stress response is nudging you to tell someone how you feel instead of bottling it up. Your stress response wants to make sure you notice when someone else in your life is struggling so that you can support each other. When life is difficult, your stress response wants you to be surrounded by people who care about you. Okay, so how is knowing this side of stress going to make you healthier? Well, oxytocin doesn't only act on your brain, it also acts on your body. And one of its main roles in your body is to protect your cardiovascular system from the effects of stress. It's a natural anti-inflammatory. It also helps your blood vessels stay relaxed during stress. But my favorite effect on the body is actually on the heart. Your heart has receptors for this hormone. And oxytocin helps heart cells regenerate and heal from any stress-induced damage. This stress hormone strengthens your heart. And the cool thing is that all of these physical benefits of oxytocin are enhanced by social contact and social support. So when you reach out to others under stress, either to seek support or to help someone else, you release more of this hormone, your stress response becomes healthier, and you actually recover faster from stress. I find this amazing, that your stress response has a built-in mechanism for stress resilience. And that mechanism is human connection. I want to finish by telling you about one more study. And listen up, because this study could also save a life. This study tracked about 1,000 adults in the United States, and they ranged in age from 34 to 93. And they started the study by asking how much stress you experienced in the last year. They also asked, how much time have you spent helping out friends, neighbors, people in your community? And then they used public records for the next 5 years to find out who died. Okay, so the bad news first. For every major stressful life experience, like financial difficulties or family crisis, that increased the risk of dying by 30%. But, and I hope you are expecting a but by now, but that wasn't true for everyone. People who spent time caring for others showed absolutely no stress-related increase in dying, zero. Caring created resilience. And so we see once again that the harmful effects of stress on your health are not inevitable. How you think and how you act can transform your experience of stress. When you choose to view your stress response as helpful, you create the biology of courage. And when you choose to connect with others under stress, you can create resilience. Now, I wouldn't necessarily ask for more stressful experiences in my life, but this science has given me a whole new appreciation for stress. Stress gives us access to our hearts. The compassionate heart that finds joy and meaning in connecting with others. And yes, your pounding physical heart working so hard to give you strength and energy. And when you choose to view stress in this way, you're not just getting better at stress. You're actually making a pretty profound statement. You're saying that you can trust yourself to handle life's challenges. And you're remembering that you don't have to face them alone. Thank you.
Okay, that was the How to Make Stress Your Friend by Kelly Magano. You can find it on YouTube, and everybody knows it's www.youtube.com. And as I said in the message, This is one of the TED Talk videos. This is not mine. This was published on September 14th through 2013, and I'm giving credit to YouTube and to TED Talks for publishing this. We are going to listen to one more person, but I hope that you guys realized and saw and understood that stress is basically our friend. It's how we choose to respond instead of react to stress. If you're embracing it and you're prepared for it and you have a good understanding of what's going on with you, your body, and your life, and again, you're not reacting, freaking out, just giving up, then stress is your friend. And I like this Bible verse, Proverbs 3:5, trust the Lord with all your heart, on your own intelligence do not rely. Matthew 6:34, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil. We don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring. Honestly, and I'm going to ask you, do you even know if you're going to be here tomorrow? Nope, you don't. Think about that for a second. All right, I just want to remind everybody before we go on that 211 in all the 50 states is available for people, men, women, teens to call if they need referrals for maybe a teen has run away and they don't know what to do and they need help or they want to get back home. They can get you in touch with Teen Challenge and other organizations. Women or men who are in domestic violence situations. Unfortunately, there are more shelters for women than there are for men, but please still, men, don't hesitate to call because you are just as important as the women and they can help you with those situations, either give you referrals to get counseling or offer more resources. For people who need resources for food banks, because food banks can be like here in Nevada, we have so many places that you can get Salvation Army and other places to get food. Just remember that. And they also have for counseling, whether you need it for one time or marriage counseling or family counseling, or maybe your teenager has suicidal ideations or it's cutting, and that could be for adults too. So 211 is a fabulous number to remember and use and refer other people to. Before we go on today, I just want to read you another Bible verse. And before that, thank you for listening to Rolling with a Diva. It is a pleasure and honor, and I'm humbled that people take the time to listen to my show and that they are encouraged. I do this show for other people, for their mental health and strength with their mind, body, and soul. But to tell you the truth, the people who listen and call in are my strength. Psalm 46:1-3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Through the earth give way, and the mountain, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. All right. Just want to remind you guys, we have some upcoming shows that's coming on. Jal Judah D is going to be with us. She's a great comedian, a self-published author. She has written a book called See Me. She'll be here January 20th. January 21st, we'll have a great show with Martin Luther King. We're doing some episodes that really are at the heart of America and a lot of times aren't talked about, suicide in children and teenagers and suicide in adults and how to help prevent that and get them help. No shame. We want to keep them well-loved. All right, we're going to go to another talk that I have found on YouTube that I'll just talk about embracing your stress. I could read these to you, but I just really like the idea that there are people who do this. Now, we're just going to listen a little bit on Tony Robbins, but I just want you guys, because his is too long, but I just want you guys to get a gist of that. Here we go with Tony Robbins. So we're going to, ignore the...
What it takes to make life work. But what I want you to know is, Australia, all the places in the face of the earth, which is my client, just say, Tony, all the places on earth, there's one place you can fit that ring.
Oh, sorry about that. I fast-forwarded. Hold on. I have to rewind it. I apologize about that. I fast-forwarded the message. So here we go. Nobody's perfect, ladies and gentlemen.
Australia, of all the places on the face of the earth, when I'm talking to my clients, they say, Tony, of all the places on earth, there's one place you can take to have a great quality of life with your family that will weather the storm the best. It's Australia, by far. You guys are in the best place on earth to make make it through this situation and take advantage of it. But the real secret is, whether you suffer or whether you succeed is not going to be based on the season. Some people freeze to death in the middle of the winter. Other people ski and snowboard. It really comes down to, what are you going to do? So as I was coming here, I was thinking, what can I do to show you how to take advantage of the season? What can I do to show you how you can absolutely, it doesn't matter what the season is a bad season financially a good or bad time to start a business? Tell me, which one? When the economy is toughest, is it a good or bad time to start a business? You tell me. Which one? Well, of course, that's what he expects me to say. It's good. But it's the truth. If you look at the Fortune 1000 companies around the world, 65% of them were started in a depression or a recession. The reason is they were started with somebody when all the competition was freaking out. Somebody could start, like Apple Computers, in the middle of a recession with selling their Volkswagen bus and coming out with some ideas because everybody else was scared and wasn't willing to do whatever it took. Disney started in the depression, right? Fortune Magazine started in depression. How are you going to build your fortune in the middle of a depression? That's why they're one of the strongest companies in the magazine business. That business is pretty horrible for most people. If you look at Microsoft, it was a recession. You look at the best and most powerful companies, it's because they understood something that's really critical, and that is, don't ask and be easier. Ask and make yourself better. If you get strong during the tough times, you'll dominate for the rest of your life. But what I think would be useful is maybe walk you through a tool that I've got that I've developed over the years to turn companies around. And the fundamental tool is, there are areas of your business, every one of you in this room, no matter what your business is, if you're in business, you're probably doing something well. How many got some area of your business you're proud of, whether it be marketing or sales or the product or service? How many got an area you're proud of? Say I. How many got an area you're less than proud of? Say I.
I.
The challenge is, where does our energy go? To the areas we feel most skilled and powerful in, or least skilled and least powerful in? Which one? No, our energy tends to go to the areas we feel most powerful. We do what makes us feel good. We do what we feel.
I'm going to stop right there, and then I'm going to let him continue, and we'll listen to him for a few more minutes. But as he was talking about where do we put our energy in, and that the most successful business has been built during recession and et cetera, I am really working on, because I'm changing careers, changing jobs, I have really determined and really been on myself that this is a downtime for me. I'm, you know, trying to rebuild myself and rebrand, and I'm going to rebuild myself as a travel agent. But to do that, it takes a risk, and I have to get over those. So I'm really glad that I'm able to listen, because sometimes changing careers, changing jobs, getting married, bringing families together for blended families can really put a lot of stress on people. So I'm learning to embrace the ability that I have to know I can be successful, that it's okay, that some things may be tough and I have to walk up hills to get to be the best travel agent I can. But I'm happy. I'm going to embrace that and know that I will be successful. We're going to continue with Tony.
Feel confident, not when we feel incompetent. And this is just complex. It doesn't have to be, but it is. So I thought maybe this is a format I could give you. Let's walk through what the business environment's really like right now. And then let's see if we can walk through what are the areas that if you were just to do this, if I never saw you again, my goal is to see you again. My goal is to add enough value. So, okay, this is a no-brainer. I'm going to take 4 days until he comes back. I'm going to go into the store and be a person and grow my business 100%. But if I don't, here's what I want you to do, or if you don't. I'm going to cover seven areas that are what I call the seven forces of your business. Each force has a forceful impact on your level of success or failure, profitability, etc. There's some areas I bet you're doing good in. Some areas you can do better in. Some areas you're very weak in. The problem is, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And in business, so many businesses go through challenges because those weak links are the ones that destroy you, not your strengths. It's true around the world. Actually, Australian business is interesting, a little bit more intense than even business in the U.S. in one category. What percentage of Australian businesses are still alive 5 years after they start? Who knows? What percentage of Australian businesses are still alive 5 years after they start. I'll give you a clue. 90% of all Australian businesses are gone in the first 5 years. If you and I are going to really make this thing work, it's that we're going to look and say, okay, why do they fail? Why do so many businesses fail? Why is it? I mean, good intention people, smart people, strong people, and yet they still fail. And maybe they had good products, good services, they had great advantages when they started. They may have been successful for 3 or 4 or 5 years or even 10 years. And now they're gone. I will tell you what I've seen in my life, and I've had the privilege now of working around the world with 50 million people through my books and tapes and audio and video programs, but I've worked with 4 million people, 4 million from 100 different countries over the last 34 years. I can clearly tell you there's patterns you don't miss when you've been with that many people and that many businesses. And the one pattern I can tell you above anything else is most businesses fail because they fail to anticipate what's coming. Write that down. Write down. Anticipation is the ultimate power. If you fail to anticipate, no matter how smart you are, you're going to end up reacting, and your business will pay the price. And the price in the sport we're in is death, death of the business, just like a gladiator. Now, what do I mean by this? Maybe I can show you what I mean by giving you an example that more people could relate to. I want you to sit up in your chair with some energy. So I know you're sit up in your chair with some energy. Make sure the person next to you's got some energy. And I want you to yell out, I, if this describes an experience you really have. And I want you to be honest. If it doesn't describe an experience you have, don't say anything. But if this describes an experience you have, I want you to raise your hand and go, I, all right? So here's my question. How many of you in this room have ever experienced the total and complete humiliation that comes when you play a video game against a child?
I.
How many have this experience? Say I.
I.
How many have this happen more than once? Say I.
I.
Who always wins when you play a video game against a child?
The child.
The child. Why? Because they're smarter, quicker, faster. In fact, don't even tell me why. Think about how the process occurs. First of all, you don't play many video games, so you're smart. You don't offer to be a part of this game. It usually occurs because one of your children, or you maybe have, you're an aunt or an uncle to someone, or friends, and they say to you at Christmas time, auntie, unc, somebody, mom, dad, play this game with me. And you say, no, I don't play those games. You go enjoy it. I'm not good at it. They go, no, it's really easy. Let me show you. And they hand you the football gun. They go, choo, 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 bam, bam, bam. You just shoot guys just like that. It's so easy. And they go, come on, do this with me. And finally, you acquiesce. And then what happens? You should know you're being set up when they say, you go first. And what happens? You pick up that gun, and these aliens come at you, choo, choo, choo. And you're dead usually in about 3.8 seconds. Now the child takes the gun. What happens? In about 45 minutes later, you get your second turn. Who knows what I'm talking about here? Say I.
I.
Now you're pissed. You're like getting competitive. I'm not getting shot in 3 seconds. So now you're really focused. And you get shot in the back, and you're dead in 2 seconds. The kids, 45 minutes later, you get your third one. The kids scores 480 million points. You get 3. Who's had this experience? Say I.
I.
Why? Just a child.
Oh,
when? Is it because they're younger, faster, smarter, more flexible? Their minds are wired this way. No, listen to me. Child always wins because they played this game before. Because they played the game before, listen to me, key words, they know the road ahead. If you know the road ahead, you have the ultimate advantage over everyone around you. You must know the road ahead. Why? Because when you know the road ahead, you can anticipate. Write it down again. Anticipation is the ultimate advantage in business and in life. Anticipation. You know the road ahead. You know what's coming. When you know what's coming, you can anticipate. When you can anticipate, what's the benefit of anticipation? When you anticipate, you're ahead of the game. If you're not anticipating, what do you have to do? React. And when you you're in the game of business and you react, you're going to die. It's that simple. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been in business. If you find yourself reacting, you're going to die. You're in business and you didn't anticipate some of the challenges coming up with technology, and all of a sudden it eats you up in a week, in a month. What you built 5, 10 years ago disappears. Who's seen this happen and knows what I'm talking about is real here? Say I. So we're talking about the most important skill of all here, anticipation, because otherwise you're reacting. Why does the kid succeed? They've played it so many times. Guess what they know when the game starts? First bad guy's here, second bad guy's here, third bad guy's here. They don't wait. They anticipate, and they take control. If there's one gift you could give yourself, it's to know this. Write this down if you would. The biggest chokehold in any business, the biggest chokehold in any business is always the owner slash leader. It's the owner leader's psychology or skills. The biggest chokehold in any business is the owner leader's psychology or skills. Your mindset, what eats you up is you don't know what's coming. You don't have the skill to handle what's coming because you don't know it. Or you're so beat up psychologically, emotionally by what you've been through, you can't find the answer. So as a result, you end up with a story that limits you. You end up in a state that limits you. What's stopping the business, another way of saying this is the story, the state, and the strategy of the owner or the leader. If you change that owner leader's state, story, and strategy, you change everything. If you don't, you're not going to succeed. So Bill Gates is a gutsy bastard. Bill Gates has a lot. I mean, the guy took big risks. He was at Harvard, had a great education set up, wasn't doing so good. But he read a magazine article about the first personal computer called the Altair. And he read it. He said, you know what? I think this is the future. He anticipated the changes that would come in the future. But he had guts. And he took a risk. That's why he's who he is. He called the guy up and he said, listen, I see you got this new computer. You guys need software for that. He said, I've written software for it that will make it run perfectly. Was that true, yes or no? Total bullshit. He made it up. He was just being gutsy and saying, if I tell the guy I've got software and he says, come see me, I'm going to figure out how to do it. Pretty ballsy. Sure enough, the guy said, bring it to me in 3 weeks. So he had 3 weeks to come up with software, he and his partner. And he worked around the clock, and literally, when he went to Altair in New Mexico to show the software, he didn't have a computer to test it on. He didn't know if it was going to work for sure. Thank God for his future worked. It was a gutsy, risky thing. He invested all his time and energy. He blew off his school. He did everything, and thank God for him, it worked. But that didn't make him wealthy. You know what made him wealthy? Something called MS-DOS. MS-DOS was software that he did not write. He bought MS-DOS that made him $3.5 billion for $50,000. Bill Gates bought it for $50,000 from somebody else. He saw IBM and he was studying his competition. And he said, they think they're in the computer business. And I think the computer business is going to become a commodity at some point in the future. I want to control the intelligence that controls those computers. So what I'm going to do is I'll offer the software and I'll just go buy it from this kid over here. Now, $50,000 is a huge sum of money. Most business people don't have guts, they don't take risks, and they don't invest. He said, I got to do this. Rolled the dice, got it locked up, went to IBM and convinced them. Now, IBM wanted it. What did IBM want to do? They wanted to buy it from him. He said, no, I'll rent it to you. They said, no. He said, look, you're not in the software business anyway. You're in the computer business. You don't want software. Software changes. You don't know that area. Let me do this for you. The biggest strategic, remember I said your life is controlled by your what? Decisions. That decision made him wealthy. That decision for IBM made them a has-been in a short number of years. You have to anticipate the shift. Am I making sense with you here? Yes or no? So, what's the solution? The solution, listen to me, is constant and never-ending improvement on the areas that control the success or failure of your business. constant, never-ending improvement. It doesn't have to be huge, but it has to be constant. Incremental improvements in the areas that matter on a regular basis, and you will dominate as long as you also anticipate. So let me give you seven real fast. I'm on tight on time. Let me give you the first of the seven. Let me show you how it works. I'm going to start with the end in mind. If you're going to be successful in business, the end out.
We are going to play a song, and we will be right back with Rolling with the Diva. Hold on. I love the songs we play. These are by artists that are indie artists. Some are Christian, some are non-Christian. But the point is that they are great artists. You can look on my webpage or you can look on Facebook and you can actually see some of the comedians and book authors and everybody that's been on the show. If you have a talent and you'd like to share and be heard on the radio, please send me an email at cvwtdiva@gmail.com for a non-compensatory fee to be on the air. You're important. You're more than enough in love. We're going to listen to a few more minutes of Tony Robbins, and then we are going to talk about embracing your stress with Jesus Christ.
What makes somebody successful in business is not that they make a sale. If all you do is make a sale, you made a little money. To have a business, it has to be sustained. To be sustained, you have to build clients. Or the minimum, what I would call, raving fan clients, raving fan customers. Now, why is the target of all business a raving fan customer? Well, first of all, what makes a human being wealthy in financial terms? What will make you wealthy is only one way to get wealthy, and stay wealthy. Add more value to other people's lives than anyone else can possibly do. If you add more value than anybody else, you will have people be a raving fan of your product, service, or company. And raving fans are the best marketing in the world, because today, nobody pays attention to advertising unless it's shocking. And even then, it doesn't necessarily sell the product. What sells product today is people telling people this is the best shit you can get. How many agree with me on this right now? Say I. And you can't buy that word of mouth. You can only deliver it by delivering such an incredibly valuable experience or product or service that people tell everybody about it. The first key to getting to that target, if we're gonna grab hold of our energy and we're gonna race towards this target, is you have to do step number one. Step one in a business is you got to know where you really are. You got to know where you really are, and you got to build what I call a business map. Now, what do I mean by a business map? Well, think of it this way. How many of you in this room have a five-year business plan right now for your company? Five-year business plan. Raise your hand. Now, a group of 9,000 people, I'm seeing maybe a dozen hands. The reason you're seeing a dozen hands is because even if you have to do a five-year plan, it's bullshit. And I'm not being disrespectful. It's bullshit. Why is it bullshit? Everyone tell me. Why is a five-year business plan in the world we live in today total bullshit? Why? Because the world is changing so fast, you have no clue what's going to be here in 5 years. You're kidding yourself. So what do you throw up your hands and just hope it works out well? That's a disaster, too. What you need is a business map. A business map means you understand the territory. You understand what's happening, where it's happening. So as you're moving along, you can adjust with that map to get where you want to go as the environment changes. The way you frame what business you're in to yourself is the single biggest limit in your business. And I promise you it's limiting who you do business with as well. You know, if you ask Peter Drucker, one of the greatest business geniuses of all time, he used to say, there's really only one question, maybe two in businesses. The question is, what business are you in, and how's business? You must control the meaning within yourself, within your team, and then the way you market it. You can't do that until you're crystal clear what business you're in. In every 7 weeks, you should be thinking deeper what business you're in, or you'll ask a third question. What business do you need to be in? Because let me tell you something. You didn't experience in 2008 in Australia what the rest of the world did, but you're going to experience some of what the rest of the world has experienced coming soon. You're going to experience it in your real estate market. You're going to experience it in your shares market.
Okay, you guys, because that's a long video, message from Tony Robbins. I just hope you guys got the gist of, just like Kelly McGonnell told you guys, basically, you're in charge. You can't give up. You have to embrace the stress of what's going on. Tony Robbins' video is on YouTube. It was published August 14, 2017, and it's called Tony Robbins, How to Embrace the Grind, Tony Robbins Motivation. The three things that he talked about here, you guys can go to YouTube and listen to the rest, is the grind, understanding the grind. Life is a marathon, not a sprint, and challenge your mindset. There are four others, but you guys can listen to that. All right, I'm going to read you guys a couple of more Bible verses, and then I just want to, before I do that, I want to remind you to embrace stress and to have it be a part of your life where you can just even laugh at it. You have to write down your goals if it's for work, right? Life situations, what could happen, positive or negative. Now rethink how to embrace the ones you see as negative and how you your body might react to them. Revamp with scenarios in your mind that are positive. You're more than enough. Choose to respond instead of react. Anticipate life, areas of your life. Pray and let God be your guide. To me, the most important thing that you can do is anticipate in life that God got up on the cross for you. He didn't, when God was making the world, he anticipated that we would have sin. He put something there for us, which was Jesus Christ to get up on the cross and die for our sins and rose in 3 days. And no other person in history or before or since will ever do that. And so if God can anticipate and he dealt with it, and Jesus knew what was going to happen, because he even asked God to take it away, but God did not. He anticipated his stress, but he took it. So can you. Nehemiah 8:10, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a stronger tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. For I know, and Jeremiah 29:11, which is my favorite verse, for I know well the plans I have in mind for you of the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for woe, as to give you a future and a hope. These Bible verses I thought were really awesome, and they were from the website www.pulse.ng, and they were 7 verses to get you through stressful times by NNF Udoing, and it was published 3/13/2017. I just wanted to make sure that you guys are able to go to that site and read that. And he's still talked about, as we all know, life is filled with highs and lows. With the ongoing different things that are going on, most people are experiencing the low part of right now or the high part, but life can be embraced, can be enjoyed, and learning to embrace your stress is a beautiful thing. All right, now we're going to play one more song. And I want to thank you guys for listening, Rolling with the Diva. You are loved, you are wanted, and you are so, so, so valuable.
I've been beat down in life so much. I thought I would never fall in love. You can go a lifetime without love. And as soon as you find someone, here comes someone else. I'm in love. I'm in love now. I'm in love with the woman. Other women talk about, I don't care what they say. I'm in love with the woman. Other women talk about, they always degrade her. They always have bad things to say, but I love my woman anyway. She treat me like a king, and I treat her like a queen. I don't care how people talk. Captain Jack knows what he got. I'm in love with the woman. Other women talk about, they try to degrade her and put her down. I'm in love with the woman. Other women talk about, the more they scandalize her name, make me love her even more. She's so special to me, I believe God sent her from heaven above. I'm gonna love her, I don't care what nobody say. I'm gonna spend the rest of my life loving her to be my wife. I'm in love with the woman. Other women talk about. They never have nothing good to say. I'm in love with the woman. Other women talk about. See, I know she'll be faithful to me. I'm in love with the woman. Other women talk about. They won't leave her alone.
This is Carl Marshall. Now, fellas, if every man would listen to the words of Captain Jack, we could encourage our women today with love.
All right, that was Captain Jack. He'll be on our show later on, Rolling with the Diva, at the end of the month. He is a great soul singer, so I really encourage you guys to listen. I was searching, and I found another video on stress management. We're going to listen to a few minutes of it before we actually end the show. So I say thank you for hanging in there with me. I know we said we're going to end it, but I just thought, because I believe in God so much, I just want you guys to get the little gist of this. This is a video by Joyce Myers, and it was published on May 14, 2007, and it's Joyce Myers' Stress Management Sermon, and you can find it on YouTube. Here we go.
And a counselor, or different medicines, or books, or stress management classes, or seminars, or whatever. I mean, well, you saw the way you reacted. And when I told the worship team what I was going to teach them, they were all like, oh, we are really going to listen this weekend. And so, I mean, I think surely we all understand that it's not God's will for us to live under pressure and stress all the time. How many of us understand that that is not God's will? Okay? And so, it is a disease of our culture, but just because we live in a culture, that doesn't mean that we have to adopt that culture. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Otherwise, we just end up making excuses for everything. It's like, well, that's just the way the world is today. But that does not have to be the way your world is. Amen? Matter of fact, I'm going to say that again. You know, just because that's the way the world is today doesn't mean that has to be the way your world is or the way my world is. And I can tell you, if anything's going to change in your life or my life, then we're going to have to take responsibility to change it. Now, I don't mean that we change anything without God. The first thing we always do in every situation is go to God. But I think we get mixed up between what God will do and what He will enable us to do. You see, we are participators with God. We're partners with God. And I really think that a lot of times people think that prayer is just getting God to fix all this. Well, I just don't do anything, or I even just keep doing the same silly things I'm already doing, but now I'm expecting God to somehow get rid of the harvest that I'm sowing in my own life. Am I making sense? And so, when you pray, you have to have your ears open to see what God will say to you about what the root cause of your problem might be. Now, sometimes there's not anything we can do, and if that's the case, then God comes in and does it all. But a lot of times the root of our problem is, to be honest, we're just living with a lack of knowledge. We're living in what the Bible calls ignorance. We're not walking in wisdom. We're doing things, maybe even because that's just the culture we live in, and that's what everybody does, and so we do that. But we have to go back to the Word of God all the time, back to the Word of God. And boy, is Proverbs full of wisdom. Back to the Word of God and make a commitment that we're not going to live according to what's going on around us but we're going to make decisions based on the leadership of the Holy Spirit. How many of you believe with me that if we will all be led by the Spirit, we're going to have pretty peaceful lives? Okay. So I'm just going to tell you that I don't have any magic trick to just wave a wand over you this weekend and make all your stress go away. And neither does anybody else who knows the truth. I honestly think sometimes when people go to stress management classes or counseling or whatever, I don't think a lot of times they go with this mindset, I'm ready to make a change. I think it's just, well, I want somebody to solve my problem. And we have to camp here for a minute or this whole thing is going to be useless. I cannot solve your problem, and neither can God, if you won't do what God shows you to do or not do what God shows you not to do. I want you to get this, because this has just been coming to me really strong, that prayer is not just, now God's going to fix all this. I mean, obviously, there are many times when that is what happens, because maybe you're already doing what God's asking you to do, and now God needs to do his part. Prayer is not just talking to God. It's also listening to God, and God does talk back. He may not talk exactly the way we do, but will communicate with you in a variety of ways. God will speak to you tonight through my mouth, if you'll listen. He speaks through the word of God. He'll speak through a little kid. God will speak through a circumstance. He speaks in all kinds of ways, and we need to pray and obey. There is not one person in this room or watching by television who cannot exchange a life of stress for a life of peace. If you're willing to not just have a magic formula, but really start getting to the root of some of the issues of why you have the stress, and being willing then to make the changes that need to be made with God's help, I'll say it over and over, apart from him, we can do nothing. But I think it's also fair to say, apart from us, he doesn't do much. Huh? Well, I don't know. Are you sure that's scriptural? Yeah, pretty sure it is. May not say it exactly like that, but God tells us to cast our care, not our responsibility. He uses us. He works through people. So I pray to find out what God wants me to do, or if there's absolutely nothing that he tells me to do, then I expect him to do it. But we have to understand that real prayer is not just sitting back expecting God to do everything while we change absolutely nothing. Stress is all around us and it's not very likely to decrease. So what is our option? You see, I went for a long period of time trying to change everything around me. And that may be where you're at right now. Well, if you'll stop doing that, I'll have peace. And if you stop doing that, I'll have peace. And if you start doing this, then I'll have peace. If I had more money, I'd have peace. And if I had a better boss, I'd have peace. And it was always something out here. Come on now. It was always something out here that was the reason why I didn't have peace. And really, that takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Blame. Well, the woman you gave me, she gave it to me. Excuse me? I thought men wanted to be the head of the house.
All right, we're going to end it with Eric Rolling with Diva. That is Joyce Meyer, Stress Management. I just had to end it there because I just want you guys to go find that video. It's on YouTube, Joyce Meyer Stress Management Sermon. Basically, as Tony Robbins and Kelly McGonnell talked, and Joyce Meyer, it's our responsibility how we react and respond to stress. And whether it's in a business sense, a Christian sense, or whether we're at work, the bottom line is embracing stress can give you peace of mind, body, and spirit. Thank you for listening to Rolling with a Diva. I hope you guys have a fabulous day. Join us on Sunday. We are going to be talking about some fabulous topics, and we are just going to be enjoying great music. As I said, during this month, We're going to have some really great shows. I'll read a couple of them to you guys. On Sunday's show, it will be, drum roll please, meditation. Positive affirmations for health and strength, and that'll be on Sunday. You guys have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning in to Rolling with the Divas.